Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
We want to look at the Word this morning. I'm aware that the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring a season into this church of impartation coming from heaven. And that just means that God wants to empower you with anointing, with stuff, with wisdom, the ability to make the right kind of decisions and changes. When we want Jesus the way I'm talking about, He responds the same way in the Scripture again and again. He does stuff for people. When we want Him, it breaks down the barriers. And wanting Him is the simplest description I have for what faith in Jesus is. It's wanting Him and knowing when we have Him, we get what He gives us, because that comes in the package. Jesus, as soon as He was resurrected and before He went to heaven, He gave gifts unto men. He's a gift-giving God. He wants to make the difference in our lives, and all it really takes is a simple kind of faith that is wanting Him bad enough and understanding what it is. What does it mean that he wants us to want Him? When I look at the Scripture, I look for easy answers. I look for practical ways to try to meet the challenges that Scripture brings, because God put us in this life, in this generation, knowing we could and would meet the challenges of bringing His kingdom forward in our day. We do that in all kinds of different ways as the body of Christ. And in all of our separate efforts, we're doing something together that's growing the kingdom. There's more to talk about than I know how to talk about in things going on with people. Pastor engages in a lot of ministry time that's private, that I don't tell everybody else's business. I just get excited about seeing God get in everybody's business. And you just are going to have to trust me that there's more going on in that arena than you're ever going to know about, because I keep everybody's business private. But I want to give God the glory that I see a lot happening. I see a lot happening through our people who are being raised up into I believe a new kind of anointing, a new kind of ministry that becomes much more effective, not just in the house here, but outside the house and beyond people that are in the family right now to grow God's family. That takes some doing and some desire. And it's one of the things that rubs off on us. When we want Jesus enough, we start wanting what He wants. He kind of makes that happen. I don't know how to describe it, but in my wanting Him, He has made me more like Him. And for every reason, that's a good thing. I used to wrestle with that and think, I would try to make that happen. I need to make myself be like Jesus. Good luck with that. That didn't work out very well. I became more and more frustrated at how much I was not being like Jesus. But I learned over time, if I just wanted Him and to fellowship with Him, sometimes that's looking at the Scripture. Sometimes it's worshiping. Other times and many times it's getting with other people that know God. See, He's in everybody. He's in all of us. So when we're not feeling it, get with somebody who's feeling it more than you are. What I mean by feeling it is feeling His presence and His love. And at different times in any body, there might be a few body parts that are aching and other parts that feel like they're in their prime. If I go to the gym and I do particular certain parts of my body and only work out certain parts, those parts hurt and the rest of it feels fine. So I just work everything out all at the same time and I get all the hurt over with all at the same time. Then everything feels good. That's just my method. Most people don't do it that way. But in the body of Christ, we are meant to create a balance in all this activity. And it's a matter of everybody finding their spot and their function, and we're increasing in that. You know, there's some people I see repeatedly in and out of the building, in and out doing projects, in and out. But there are other people out in the community I keep hearing about that are sharing and are doing things and are growing relationships and friendships. For everything that's happening in the house, there has to be twice as much happening outside the house to grow the family. to understand that everybody comes into the family of God by adoption, even if you're Christian parents and you have three kids and they all come to know Jesus in your house. Jesus brought them into the Heavenly Father's family by adoption. They came into your family by natural means or adoption or whatever means, but everybody comes into God's family being adopted. And did you know there's work to that? There's relationship building to that. There's convincing people outside the family that this is the family to belong to. I've watched adoptive parents. You know, they're made to jump through a lot of hoops. They're kind of made to go through the paces, but they purpose in their heart, I am going to do this thing because I want kids, or I want a child, or I want a family. And they do whatever it takes to receive a family that they didn't give birth to for whatever reason, but to have a family that would be their own just as though they were naturally born. And there's something about being adopted that maybe has a significance that being natural born doesn't quite have. Because adopted children are wanted, the parents have to jump through hoops, and the kid gets chosen by somebody. So, well, I know adoptions, and they don't get to pick the exact kid. No, but somebody's wanting them. We have to understand that that's how it is with us in Jesus. He wanted us first. We should really want him. We should understand that it takes something on our part for other people to know who it is they're wanting. What's Jesus look like in real life? So there's a series coming on that'll have to relate to you how to reach people outside the church, because we represent a family. We represent Jesus who wants to be wanted. Well, guess how he gets to be wanted? We make him be wanted or not. If he wants to be wanted, then you know he's equipping the family to create the desire out there for people to come in. So I'm excited how God's raising us up. Now, today we're gonna have some altar time at the end of service. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I know the Lord's going to minister to some things. And I hope I'm able to relate some things to you through the Word that both empower you. I love empowering our church. But also the Holy Spirit has designed to pierce your heart. Because when our heart is pierced, or Scripture uses the word pricked, it means God got a place that he never had before. That God got a place that caused us to yield a little bit more of our attention or a little bit more of our effort. And that's what it looks like to make Jesus Lord. We should go through week to week or even day to day having some little encounter with God that might have happened because we were with people. Maybe it happens because we're alone, or we see something in the Scripture, or we see something on television, or we see something in a movie, and it triggers something that just pierces our heart and captures our attention. Jesus wants to do that today in a way that causes us just to want him more, so that rather than get into works that we have to produce, we get into ministry that is his love flowing out of us. See, there's several ways you can look at ministry. One is it's the list of things I need to do to please God and keep Pastor happy. Please don't make a list like that. Make the list that Jesus has captured my heart. When I was spending time thinking about him and telling him that I loved him, he let me know about something that was on his heart, and it captured my heart. When that happens, God meets you in that place. And you might be working hard to get something done, but there's this sense of accomplishment that is eternal that nobody can take away. There is a knowing that I just did something that really pleased the Master. And it not only warms his heart, it warms our heart. So Mark chapter 3 says Jesus wants those who want to be with him. It's where he's choosing disciples, but he goes on with another truth that is one of those piercing things. It's twofold that I want to talk about, and then it leads to how we can do it, how we can be this. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 11, and he didn't only say this in Luke, but two other gospels, so it's recorded three times, so if you're looking for two or three witnesses, they're there. All right, so this is Jesus, this is real, and this is a definite thing that he wanted us to know about. This is verse 23. And this talks about the other end. We're talking about Jesus wanting to be with the people who want him, but then he talks about the other side of that. He that is not with me is against me. There's not a gray space in between. Jesus is saying we're either with him because we love him and we want him, or we're not with him. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to kind of have an understanding. Okay, what does it mean to be with Jesus? Because if I'm not, it's not going to be good. He said, I would be against him. I wonder if we're against Jesus, if we're going to have a great life while we're here. We can call ourselves blessed, but I wonder if we'll really see blessing. I think maybe sometimes there's a heart problem Jesus is trying to address here. And he's telling us that if we're with him, it's going to be very different than if we're not. I don't know about you, but I give a little thought to that, and I think some days are better than others. That should be convicting. I'm going to tell you something. If the pastor admits he's being convicted, you should too. That means you should say amen about there. All right. I'm going to coach you a little bit in how to say amen. All right. That would be one of the spots, because otherwise you are saying, oh, that's me. See, when you're quiet, it's more of an admission of a problem. And when we say amen, it means I got it. I get it. That's just better. All right. Why? God's word's meant to convict and convince us in the way we're supposed to go. So Jesus is all about wanting to be loved. You can think about it. Jesus has a selfish bone in his body. It's to be loved by you. That's what he's after. That's what he wants. Now, so if we're not with him, we're against him. So two things. He wants to be with those who want him. And if we're not with him, we're against him. Now, that's about as black and white a truth as there can be. Thus I wore black and white. I did it on purpose. I go, man, this is just really, really, really clear, you know. Then there's the last part of this verse, and it's scary too. Jesus sometimes preached a scary gospel. Why? He wanted us to know what's important. He wanted us to know what matters for all eternity. He wanted us to know what kind of relationship he died for. He wants that kind of relationship, the kind that he laid down his life so that we would see what he did for us and we would want to be with him. So much so that we would want to engage in what's important to him, because he said, when he ascended, he basically said, now kids, it's all up to you. Grow the family. Bring people in. Love one another. Love God with all your heart. Love one another. He gave us commandments. Now, this is the second part of Luke 11, 23, and I almost limited today's sermon to just these two verses, three verses that I'm talking about, but we'll go a little bit further because it ends better. He that is not with me is against me. Then he says, and he that gathers not with me scatters. And he had a conjunction. He put and in there. It's really in there. There's nothing about this made up. I looked up every word and every commentary, and I read and read and read. I said, oh, they all agree. This is the real deal. This is Jesus talking, and there's no way around what he means here. So first, he wants those who want to be with him. Second, if we're not with him, we're against him. Then third, if we're not gathering, and he's talking about sheep or fish, or there are a whole bunch of inferences to gathering the harvest. He that gathers not with me scatters. He doesn't just say that it's the servant sitting at home. He rather says we're messing things up for him. That sounds like there's something I could be guilty of other than ignorance. That sounds like he has a clear expectation. Now, I look up what that word scatters means, and it means the activity that happens because we're driven by other influences and impulses. So it means we're acting on another set of impulses. So I sit and say, Jesus, you're really saying that there's a spiritual impulse in loving you that we will be in on gathering in people into your kingdom, or we're acting on other impulses and we're responsible for scattering some people. Then I thought about that and I thought, Jesus, you're really saying, I have a list of people you expect me to reach, because you're very intentional in saying I'm either helping you with it or I'm causing problems to it. How could I be a scatterer except I don't go to the part of the field that I'm to be the gatherer in? It was very convicting. Amen. That's the place for amen. I'm telling you something that I see and I'm learning from. And all you have to think is pastor's only one step ahead of you when I'm preaching. All right? See, I'm seeing it and I'm going, oh, this has a strong, more than implication. This has a direct translation of three things that capture my attention about Jesus. First, he wants to be wanted. And if he's not, and we don't learn the other two. We don't see them. We're living in this kind of gray zone where maybe we've seen salvation unto heaven, but we're not seeing lordship of Jesus in the earth. Because we're in a covenant, he gave us salvation so that we would live for him. That was the deal. And live eternally with him. So he's looking for something. He's looking for us to want him. He's looking for us to be with him. And he wants us to put in an effort to gather. Now, this is what gather means. It isn't just a harvest. It has to do with coming together to have services. It has to do with coming together with somebody on the phone nowadays. It has to do with coming together in three different ways specifically to gather. So this isn't just going outside the church to win people, though that's the trumpet I want to blast the loudest today because that's the biggest job ahead of us. It says three things. Number one, it means to draw together with a group. If we're going to be a part of gathering, then the first thing that happens is we say, I need to be a part of a bigger group and a bigger picture. I am not alone on the water. It is not going to be me and my family. We are going to be a part of something bigger so that something more can happen. We are not the body of Christ unto ourselves. The whole body of Christ isn't in your family or in your house and all your distant cousins all combined. That's right. The body of Christ is in people who want Jesus badly enough that they love him enough to gather together. So you see, when people don't want to gather together, just be frank with you, they have a love problem. Jesus said so. They don't love him enough. I'm just going to be frank. Why? Sometimes I think Facebook makes it easy to stay home, and I don't like that. But as people say things, they mistakenly tell the pastor, I can do church at home. And I openly say, oh, no, you can't. You don't know the scripture. And they usually go, because they know I'm going to hit them with some scripture. Now, why would I say that? Because we're not a part of the cause of Christ when we're unto ourselves. Jesus said we're a scatterer when we do that. Now, I'm afraid of what that really means. When I think about it, I think, Lord, there have been moments in my life where you kind of spoke to me something you wanted from me, and I kind of stepped back from that and said, Lord, anoint someone else for that. I think maybe I had a scatter moment. There's something wonderful about recognizing a scatter moment. You can go back and go and gather it back up. I don't know. The farmers in here appreciate this, but when you put somebody new on the auger cart, they usually have a scatter moment. And you can either ignore it and let all the neighbors see because it's in your end row. Everybody's going to drive by and say, well, there's 30 bushel of corn on the ground. That took a whole half a second to happen. But somebody did not know what they were doing. Or you send the guy that did it out with the corn scoop to manually move the corn without getting a lot of dirt in it and then tell him, cover up whatever's left on the ground so your sin is covered. Now, understand today has an element of that in it. Where we can recognize, oh, wait a minute, there have been a few moments here where I didn't quite understand about the gathering and how important my role is and how easy I can mess something up that God's been trying to set up. See, if we value the harvest the way Jesus wants us to, we'll understand there's an art to this. There's a timing to things. There's a coordination between all the pieces of equipment and all the operators and all the people before this whole thing goes to market in heaven. Now, So first, we got to be drawn together with the group. I watch farmers do that in spring and fall, and there's always somebody calling the shots, calling the orders. In any business, it works like that, where things get coordinated by a voice. We have the voice of the Holy Spirit to do that. As we each listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He will be telling us our part to do, and we'll see it begin to connect with the bigger picture. See, you really can't be alone in the body of Christ unless you cut yourself off from the rest of the body, because the Holy Spirit's trying to get everything to come together. If I could describe what I think the Holy Spirit must feel like if He has feelings, it's, oh my Lord, He's got to pull all these parts together, and everybody's dancing around doing their things. I'm just trying to get them to take some steps and do something together. And if we'll listen to Him, all of a sudden we'll be much better coordinated. The effort will be much better. There will be more grain end up in the wagon or in the semi nowadays than on the ground. Now, so to draw together with a group. So the first, this is kind of by layer. The first thing that should happen if we love Jesus enough is we want to be a part of the bigger group. That's first base. When that begins to erode, we really have a huge problem. So I'm saying for you to understand how to help other people, it's a love problem when they're choosing other things, overcoming and being, they're not being drawn together. There's something wrong. Love of Jesus in us does the drawing. When we've diminished in our love for Him, we're not feeling that on the inside, a being compelled. And it isn't, well, I better be there, or Pastor Doug's going to see I wasn't there, and Valerie's going to call me and give me heck. Well, you deserve that, you know, for maybe 10 different people. See, well, that's what we're supposed to. We're supposed to look around and say, who didn't feel the draw today? Something must be going on. Let's help them be drawn back in. And you do it in a loving way. Don't do it in a mean way. Don't say, Pastor Doug said to call you and give it to you. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. That's a wrong interpretation. But see, there's a way to help people wake up to the drawing. See, there's something wrong in the body of Christ when silly things compete with coming together with God's people. It's supposed to be the most precious thing we experience in this life is working with Jesus. It should be our most important agenda. So to draw together with the group, then secondly, within that, to gather together to meet. I like when there's meetings and things going on. I have to hop around, run around all these meetings of things happening. To gather together to meet. Why would we do that? Because the drawing brings people together. And when you bring people together around here, ideas start flowing. And stuff starts happening. And sometimes ideas start flowing so fast that I get so excited that I say, oh, we ought to do that. And then it doesn't get communicated enough. Pretty soon I get 10 emails. What's up with this, Pastor? Is this something you want? Is this something you're asking for? And I think, oh, well, it didn't get communicated in a timely, orderly way. But it's out there. And it's better to have some things happening and have to straighten it out than nothing going on. Now, to gather together to meet. To meet to do what? To meet over God's agenda. To meet to find out what happens when you bring God's people together and there's a passion for loving Jesus. See, if you have a meeting and ain't nothing happening, you don't have any love of Jesus in that meeting. See, He's telling us something. If love brings us to church, love ought to motivate us to get with a little group where something's happening. Something's being discussed. Something is in the works. Why? God's going to anoint the works. God's going to provide for people who want to do stuff. God's going to give. He said, Jesus said in the parables, He's going to pay the ones that enter into the harvest. He's going to see to it. So Jesus literally is telling us that this is a part of the program if you're a born-again believer. This is what the love program looks like. This is what it means to love God with all your heart. Whew. See, it's not so individual as we want to make it. Say, well, I will interpret that to mean what I think it means. No, Jesus interpreted it for us. First, to draw together. Second, to gather together. Third, to join together as a whole. To come together and be a family. To come together and be solid together. To come together and stand together to see things done. To come together and say, I want to be a part of something more than just me. I want to be something more than just this little group. I want to be something that is bigger, that can do more. Something that's bigger than me. See, if we don't get there in this life and we want to be a part of something so much bigger than us that we can't produce it, we have missed God. The challenge on things like the missions trip is it sounds like, oh, I don't know if I have that in my budget. That's when you talk to God. Say, Holy Spirit, if you're telling me to do this, you've got a way to do this. What's this going to look like? So, and it's not running around asking everybody to pay your way. Right. Might be getting a one-day-a-week job at Dairy Queen at night to save enough money. See, I think sometimes we want to hear from God for somebody else to pay, and that isn't really how things work. See, our passion for Jesus should be so real that we have confidence that he will pay for what he asked for. That's why we teach and preach faith around here. It isn't faith for somebody else's tithe to pay for ministry. It's faith to say, God, I'm putting my life on the line because I love you, and you know this love is real, and you're going to respond to my desire to serve you with what it takes to do the job. Amen. That's a good place for amen. To join together as a whole. So when we have a church function, it isn't the third of the church that likes that ministry that is a part. The whole body is a part. I mean, are we going to do a car show with one leg and one arm? It'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. He didn't want that. He didn't want that to happen. So we don't want to do any piece of ministry where we don't stop and say, God, what's my part in this? What's my place in this? And it'll vary by what the piece is. Naturally, you'll have more passion for a certain piece of ministry if it fits the need, the use of what you are in the body. But if we're going to have a ministry that's about arm wrestling, the arms are going to like that, if they're prepared. If they're not, they're going to hurt. But if they're prepared, they're going to have a good time with that. This is what wanting to be with Jesus looks like. I'm going to draw together with the group. There should be a drawing. I pray all the time. God, draw the people you want at Living Word. I say, really, Pastor? Yeah, and I also say, don't bring anybody that you don't think fits. Why, he got something in mind. I say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Scripture teaches it, and Jesus is saying it, that there's a draw. Who does that drawing? See, we're not supposed to go around and look and say, I wonder if they got what I need there to meet my needs. That's a selfish motive. That isn't why church exists. Church exists to serve Jesus, not to meet our needs first. To grow the kingdom. So this is a service center. Ever been at, I used to go to Sears to have things worked on, buy tires and whatnot in Bloomington until it closed. I hate that it closed. But you ever go to a service center? It's the least glamorous part of the store, but it's busy, it's hopping, it has a certain scent in there where things are being worked on. And if something needs to be taken care of with your vehicle, you want to go there. Jesus looks to the church as the service center, not the front window of the store, but the place where we come together and he works on all kinds of stuff. When we come together and we're drawn, while we are being used of God to help work on other people's stuff, God works on us and refines us. I've watched these guys. Anybody with a dedicated mechanic, you do not mess with or go near their toolbox. If you go to a mechanic shop and you start walking over there and reaching, they like close the lid. What's doing? Oh, I'm just looking. Okay. And they watching you. Why? They paid a price for what's in that box, and it's vital to what they're going to do. And when they reach in there, they want to be able to exactly touch where it is without looking. Understand Jesus drawing us into his church. He's got that kind of arrangement in mind. That's how important you are to his work, is he knows all about you. He knows what you're going to fit and not fit, and he's not going to put his hand on you to do a job that doesn't fit you. That's how he anoints us. So we're gathered together then to meet. We work things out. We decide what we're going to do. And then third, to join together as a whole. Now, that'd be enough in most churches for a whole sermon, but not for here. That's not enough. That's just an action piece. Now, I like action, but I want to see why and a little bit more how we do it. So we have to go to Hebrews 10. I doubt we get Exodus, much done out of Exodus today, but Hebrews 10. Interesting, I ended with Exodus 17. I turned on the television this morning early to one of my favorite TV preachers, and he said, "Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 17. I said, "Dear God, really?" I said, "Everybody's going to see that on TV and think Pastor copied somebody else's sermon, but he didn't preach the same thing I'm saying." But it tickled me nonetheless. Why? It was along the same kind of lines about the world's culture and church's culture and what we have to do to win people. It blessed me hearing it. Jesus expects his body to work together. He expects it. He expects it. That's why he said we're in the body of Christ. We're sewn in, grafted in. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 tells us how we do this. We first individually hold fast the profession of our faith. We live a life of faith. So we're revisiting that. That's part of our basic belief system here, is understanding what that means, and that God will ask things of us that make us have to trust him, or we can't do it on our own. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What profession? That Jesus is our Lord, not just our Savior. He saved us because he wanted us to be in his family so we could finish the family work, do the family business while we're here, without wavering. That means if somebody's wavering a little bit, you get up in their business and help them not waver. Well, Pastor, that makes me uncomfortable. It's supposed to make us uncomfortable. Welcome to the body of Christ. It's not supposed to be comfortable all the time. We are the opposite of the world's culture, yet we're supposed to win people out of that world's culture. That takes some doing and some discomfort sometimes. That means every so often we got to be reminded who we belong to and what we're supposed to do. So today is kind of a reminder of that, and looking at the words of Jesus, is this is who we are, and I'm glad about what's happening. But if we come together in the bigger picture, come together more than we ever have before, we can do more than we've ever done before. I'm already seeing it happen. And if you don't know about that, it means you've not been in on it yet. See, a lot of things I say are private. Some of you know some of those private things because you've kind of been in on it. But those of you that don't, you can get in. You can be more a part. Just say, "Lord, how do I fit? What am I supposed to do? Jesus, I want to draw near to you." When we draw near to him, when preacher says there's something going on, you hear it differently. When we're not near with him, when we're not desiring him and we're not loving him, we'll hear it. It'll go in one ear and out the other and never touch our heart. But see, when Jesus is actively working because we're drawing near to him, it'll touch us down in there every time. So what's my part of that, Lord? What's my part of that? Now, so there's a holding fast, there's a hanging on, there's a determination. Did you know that that's the first thing? That's the basics. We lose that, we're out of the loop. See, if somebody has to be babied all the time to want to be together, they're out of the loop. What do you do to provoke that baby? You pick them up and say, "Look here. You need to be a part of the body of Christ. You're not an island unto yourself. You'll starve if you try to be an island unto yourself. You're called to be a part of the work of Jesus. He expects that from you." I mean, who tells people what Jesus expects anymore? I haven't heard a sermon like that in a long time. That's why I'm bringing one today. Because I can tell what's on his heart. Why? When I start to reach out to Jesus to love on him, he tells me some stuff. Tells me what's on his heart. Tells me that I can make a difference if I'm willing to relay what's on his heart. Now, secondly, let us consider, in other words, you're supposed to think about doing this. That means some people sometimes are going to need this. Provoking one another to love and good works. Provoking. You going to let Pastor provoke you this morning? Some of you are saying, "Oh, thank God I'm in the back. I thought about right here, going to the back and saying, everybody turn your chairs around." Not because anybody in back needs it more than anybody in the front, but just to be ornery and make you wonder why I'm doing it. Provoking makes people wonder what's up with you. You should have a passionate enough love for Jesus to go there with people. Where they've been a part, they've been connected before, but they're falling away. No, you provoke and say, look, branch, stick back in the vine. Be a part. Stay in the work. Stay in the mix. See, we have a responsibility to one another that we'd like to just everybody take care of their own self, but it doesn't work that way in the body of Christ. Provoking one another first to love, then to good works. You mean I got to do something? That's what he's saying. Some people have to be provoked. Now, I'll say it this way. I've had to be provoked before. Or people got up in my business and say, well, Doug, there's nobody else to do it. You're going to be the one doing it. I said, I don't know anything about that, and I don't know how, and I don't want to do that. And they'd say, it don't matter. Just get with the program. So that's really mean. If you go to ministry school, that'll happen to you at some point. That's what it's all about there. You find out it isn't about you, it's about Jesus, and everybody's going to tell you how to be more about Jesus. Okay? Now, third, these are all together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Why? It's a problem. Thinking, well, it's a special day. I think it's a love problem. As the manner of some is. But number four, exhorting one another. That means having something to say. Something specific to say. Doop, 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 doop. Where were you today? That's an exhortation. You got your answer. You know, it's a love problem. Pastor, that's kind of mean. It's going to take some strength and straight shooting for the body of Christ to do anything for Jesus in this generation, because people are being taken out by the other shooters. See? No. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of Jesus' return approaching. What's he talking about? Exhorting? Reaching? Poking at people a little bit? Yeah, well, here's several ways you do it. I believe there's balance in the church. When things are good, we got to talk about what's good. We've got to talk about the things that are happening. That's why today we're affirming so many things that are happening. But I'm also saying, if you're not a part of that, ask Jesus, how do I love you? How does love work through me to be a part of that? What is it I'm to do for you? And you should feel drawn in. And if you don't, it's because you're not reaching out to Jesus enough. See, it's automatic in the scripture. When we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And what that looks like is we say, Jesus, what would you have me do? And he comes to tell us. He visits our heart and makes a visitation, and we have what is called a relationship. See, when pastor or any leader says, here's a ministry opportunity, and it has no effect on us at all, we have a love problem. You may not be the person for everything. I'm not either. But I've learned to say, Lord Jesus, what's my part in that? What's my place in that? What would you have me to do? Well, I'm connected to the body no matter what body part I am. See, it might be that these big muscles are going to make me jump. My legs are going to make me jump. But if there's a fly that lands on my thigh and starts to take a bite out of that thigh, this hand is going to have something to say about that fly. And the thigh can't do it, but the hand can do it. You see, if we just will ask him, he'll have us do some things that set other people free to do what they're supposed to do. Now, here's the kind of things happening. I believe we're setting up to reach more people than ever before. I'm experiencing it in my own personal private life and witnessing to people. Reaching more people than ever before. That's what really the investment in the youth center is set to do, so that we can reach a lot more people. It has more of an appeal. You say, well, it's sad, it takes an appeal. Everything in this generation takes an appeal. We have been trained to eye candy, eye contact. Doesn't look good, we don't want it. So you're saying, well, you're caving, Pastor. No, we're obeying the Lord. He said, put an investment in there. So we're doing it. What will it do? It will enable our young adults, particularly, to reach more youth, and our youth to reach more youth, and God to raise up more leaders, and those leaders to learn how to minister and how to reach their friends. It'll give a place for kids to bring their friends that don't know Jesus to hear about Jesus and have a great time while they're there and wonder, how did I get all mixed up with this God and church business? See, we're supposed to create an appeal. Loving Jesus makes us want to express who he is and what he looks like and what he does. And it isn't a list of I can't and I don't and I won't. It's a list of this is who he is and what he does and how he loves. And it changes people's hearts. The outreach meals, I've been very involved in that. I like that. I enjoy that. And, you know, we got people cooking so that I don't have to do all that. We make outreach meals here, but we've got people coming together to cook meals so we can take them out. Some of you received those, but the big motivator is there's people in crisis situations, and in East Central Illinois, food is a language all its own. It says, I care, I love you, and I'm coming in your house. And it works. And I don't mean you're inviting yourself in, but you create a connection because it says, I care about you. So, well, that's kind of old-fashioned. There are a few things we're going to hang on to around here from the past that are a little old-fashioned that are still very effective. And sometimes things from the past become more effective because nobody else has it anymore. So we do those meals, and I can't go into everything happening with that because it creates one-on-one opportunities to share Jesus and love people. And if you've not done it, you ought to. It'll rock your world and change your idea of reaching people. You've got the food pantry that keeps serving people. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on in that piece of ministry continually. People dedicated to it. It's a good thing. We've got a mom's group that met Saturday. They get together and have fun together and share the word together and pray for each other, kind of bear one another's burdens, and it's become a very special and precious thing. They gain life skills and have fun together. It's an amazing thing. We've got youth camp coming up just directly. A week from today, the leadership meeting will be out at youth camp. Not because we have some high-powered presentation to make for leadership, but we want everybody to see what that investment looks like and what's happening out there. And if you're interested and you're not in the leadership group, but you want to come see, just come see what we're doing. Leadership at this church is an open invitation, and then we get to know you and find out what are you qualified to do, what's God put in your heart. And then we look for commitment. Why commitment's key. When there's not a commitment, nobody can lead. Why, we're a body. If people say, I'm going to be an arm, and the arm don't come to church, we're not going to be a one-armed band at church. Pastor isn't going to have that. Why? I know we're supposed to be the whole body together. So that becomes a piece. But youth camp, we had a little introduction from Greg and Brandy about the Guatemala trip. That's a big deal. It's probably a bigger deal than we figure out how we can do that on our own with limited time. But we know God is able. Why? If he's putting it in our hearts to do. I remember when I asked them, would you consider being missions director? They looked at one another for about 3 seconds and said, yes. Yes. Why? Already in their heart. Now, that means if there's a director, then there's the body to come around the directors to make whatever that piece of ministry looks like time and again. That's just a few things. Now, we're able, we're supposed to help one another win life battles. This is from Exodus 17, and this is just a recap because I can do it in 5 minutes. Israel entered temptation and strife because they were following after other impulses. That's what got them in trouble. In the body of Christ, if we follow a wrong set of impulses, we get in trouble too. Amalek, which was an enemy, invaded it, but he came into their resting places. He tried to steal the rest and their peace and give them a life of anxiety. And what Amalek would do was come in the dark hours when many people were asleep, but the sick people would be coughing and be awake, and the weak people would be up drawing water, and the weak people were usually on the periphery at the back of the camp. So Amalek came in to where the camp was weak and start to take people out. When you see people disconnect with the body of Christ, understand it is not just their choices involved. It is the devil trying to come in to take them out. So we see the people of God needing something to happen, and you think, well, there'll surely be a hero. God has a hero. No, he had a whole group come together so he could be the hero. Jesus is the hero. No one person is, but he needs everybody to take their place and do their part, and that's what this story is about. Now, Amalek came in because he was jealous about the birthright and the blessing. He was trying to steal the blessing wherever people were weak and not in remembrance of it. See, when people get separated from fellowship with the body, they're not hearing the word that they're appointed to hear from the person that's appointed to bring it. And weakness will come into that part of the body because they didn't have ears to hear. That's what was happening in this story. Now, the enemy came in and he took captive those that were weak, or he just took them out. Now, Joshua, a type of Jesus, was charged. This is the first place Joshua is mentioned in the scripture, and he's a type of Christ Jesus. He was charged to go throughout the camp and draw out a choice group of people to do battle, soldiers to do battle, an elite group of fighting people. Now, you think, well, there's the hero. It's Joshua, and he's got a bunch of fighters. He was part of it. A choice detail. He was recruiting people. Be prepared to be recruited to be a part. Thank you for the three amens and the three that was good. Moses then went to the top of the hill with a rod in his hand, and he was taking authority over the situation. So you see, God's got somebody recruiting people, then he's got somebody taking the rod of authority and going to the high place where they can see where the battle's going to be fought. And Joshua's hands held the weapons. They were both defensive and offensive. He took the weapons in his hand through all of these people. Understand, when Jesus wants to do something to fight for the body, he's going to rise up through anybody willing to pick up a weapon and fight for the kingdom. You see, Jesus is the hero through the body of Christ, not through any one person or two people or three people. He works through the whole body of Christ. Now, each one doing something different. So we see Joshua holding weapons and Moses, hands held up the rod. He was carrying authority in prayer. You know, if you want to think of it this way, the pastor was standing around with his hands in the air. So that'd make a lot of people mad today. But he was praying. Why? There was a reason he needed to pray. If enough prayer didn't go up, the battle would be lost. And it went back and forth, and it went back and forth. And you see, with all the activity going on in our church, I'm excited. But we got to keep our prayer life up. See, God wants to do something more. He wants to win the battle for us and through us, and not there to be a lot of going back and forth and a lot of trouble. So Moses held up the rod, and when Moses' hands got tired, Joshua's soldiers began to lose. See, if you're called to do this, the prayer side, you're called to teach the word, you're called, and you're doing more of what I would call the spiritual direction than the natural helps. If you let down, the natural helps suffer. See, as the body of Christ, we have to recognize we've been appointed to a place to serve in the body. I like still getting out and getting involved with my hands, but I recognize my primary calling is to pray for the body of Christ to be energized and obedient to do the work of the Lord. My first calling isn't just to teach. There are a lot of teaching gifts in our church, over 70 if I want to go through and count. Some of them don't want to be identified as a teacher, but they are. Why? That they could get up and teach the word, especially if they had a little bit of notice. A lot of teachers. I love teachers. I love teaching the word, but that's not the primary thing. The primary thing is saying, God, activate your body, and body starts to respond, and then I got to pray. God, help him succeed. Don't let anybody be taken out. Don't let any accidents happen. Draw the people in that you intend to be here. Fill that youth room so we wish it was twice times bigger. Fill it up before we wear it out. Fill it up so we regret we didn't just start from scratch and build one. That's the kind of, you say, Pastor prays that way? Yeah, I pray that way. Now, when Moses' hands got tired, there was a back and forth. But Aaron and Hur came to Moses. Notice they didn't go to the fighting men. They came to where spiritual leadership was, says, we're going to pray too. They actually built a little chair for Moses to sit in, and then they raised the arms up to where they were elbow high, so his arms were like this. Then they held his hands up. They didn't hold his arms clear up. They supported his arms. Why? They were tired too. They had their role to play too, but they held his hands up. As long as his hands were held up, as long as the praying went on, as long as spiritual authority, and they were up on a hill where everybody could see, Amalek, the enemy, could see the man of God with his hands in the air, which was a sign of significance and worship to God and honoring God, with the rod in his hand that could part the Red Sea and other things. They saw this figure of authority on the hill, and they automatically began to lose, because it was a picture of God's spiritual authority bringing the victory to all the hands that were in the battle. See, it takes everybody working together to do their piece on their part. So, well, I don't know very much about praying. Well, then don't be the one praying. Don't worry about it. You don't know how to do that? You say, Holy Spirit, teach me. He'll begin to teach you. I used to not be on that side of things. I used to think my only ministry in life would be to help other people who really knew what they were doing because I just wanted to help. You start doing that and God will show you what part of the body you are and anoint you to be that part, and you won't miss out on anything. You won't feel left out. You'll always feel the same way. Somebody wants something from you that is bigger than you, that takes God working through you, or it can't happen. And either you go to God and enjoy yourself in learning how to do it, or you'll forever be frustrated calling yourself a part of the body of Christ, but there ain't no moving in you. See, he wants us to live and move and have our being in him. You can stand to your feet because we're going to bring it to a close. Today we're going to pray for those that are weakened or in unrest or in battle, because as long as prayer prevails in the church, as long as prayer is honored in this house, victory will commence and increase. Amen. See, if you are feeling weakened by Amalek, you're feeling weakened by an enemy, today's the day to come out of that weakness and come into strength. But you are making an agreement with God. God, I'm coming into fellowship. I'm coming into strength. I'm being a part of gathering and not scattering. Amen. See, there's also a parable that talks about the gatherers being well fed, well taken care of. So we know when we're not experiencing that, we need to be more of a gatherer and not a scatterer. So I'm not a scatterer. We're one or the other, okay? So I like to think that way and think, when something doesn't seem quite right with me, I better do some gathering. I better just recognize, now, I'm here for Jesus' purpose. It's also going to pray this way. Something, I'm very impressed by the Holy Spirit this morning. There's something that you've been standing for, to feel like the enemy has stolen from you. And you want to receive it. You know it's your right and privilege by the word. You want to receive it. He's a restorer. He's the restorer of the breach. That means wherever there's a gap. And he makes clear the path that we're to dwell in. This has to do with life dreams, life wishes, family, career, calling. So I don't know, Pastor, it's kind of personal. Well, then you talk to the Lord about it. If it's too personal, come up here and tell me. But I'm very aware of the Holy Spirit wanting to do some unusual things. You've tried other means and it didn't work. One phrase that I hear. You've asked for mercy in a situation and it's not yet been granted. You have an irreconcilable difference with somebody in the family. You have a black mark against you in your record at work, and it wasn't your fault. The doctor's report is contrary to what God's word says about your health and healing. Any of those things, I'm just going to say what this is. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, loving you. And you just decide how you want to respond to that. But if you want to respond to that, you just come, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to dismiss the sanctuary. But if you want prayer, you just come. I'm just going to linger a little while. But if you want to go out and fellowship and enjoy the fellowship today. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the moving and working of your Holy Spirit. Father, your word doesn't tease us. It sets us up to receive. Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning in this house. We're becoming more gatherers. We're becoming greater lovers of Jesus. We're just saying, Jesus, teach me how to love you the way you want to be loved. And you're doing that this morning. Jesus, you're at a minimum enlisting us all in your work, in your family, because you take care of your own. And we're on that list. We're a part of your family. Lord Jesus, in this sanctuary, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus, I ask that it be a tender moment, Lord Jesus, between each person and you. I want you in the congregation to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name to accept Jesus as my Savior. today, Jesus, you touched my heart. I want to be a part of the family of God. So I renounce my past and the sin and weights that have gotten in the way. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. I accept you now as my personal Savior. And I will make decisions every day to make you more and more my Lord. I'll give my life back to you. Every time I hear something from the Scripture that says what you want from me, I'll bring it to you lovingly and willingly. And you'll change my life. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that way today for the very first time, I'm going to tell you that's prayer of salvation. It means you'll see heaven as your home, but it also says you're coming into covenant with God where now Jesus wants you to be a part of his family, and that's about fellowship, and he'll draw you into fellowship. Wasn't long ago, there were a number of folks in a service that told me, we prayed that prayer with you, Pastor, now explain more about it. I've had the great joy to do that. So if today you pray that for the very first time, you know that you just experienced a change. You want to tell somebody. If the person you tell doesn't get excited, go find somebody else and tell them till they get excited and they want to talk to you about it. So it ought to be the most exciting thing in the house is when new babies are adopted into the family. See, I've been with families when they do that. I guess I better leave names and specifics out. But I was with one of our church families when their family grew real fast by bringing kids in. And I remember the great joy every time one came in. And I looked at that, dear Lord Jesus, do they know what they're getting into with all this great joy all at once? You know, Jesus knows. He knows that. Well, this morning, if you're in the house, I want to pray a blessing over you. Go out and fellowship. I'm going to remain in here with these in the altar, and we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today for your love for us. And Father, we're here to convey our love to you because of what Jesus has done for us. We want to be a part of your family and a part of your work, and you're drawing us in more and more every day so that we can enjoy our time here in the earth and have a sense of purpose and value that is beyond what we can gain on our own. Heavenly Father, bless the time of fellowship today. I ask that you preserve the quality and the policy that we've made here. Nobody eats alone at Living Word. Father, help everybody find somebody to talk to and be with and to enjoy the company of today. Father, let it be an empowering time of fellowship, not just passing the time while we eat, but sharing the love of Jesus and ministering to one another. Father, I thank you for a church that's on fire for you, desiring to live with you and for you, and even get involved in your kingdom work. Lord, thank you for anointing every heart that says something like that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.